السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and brothers, our sisters listening over receivers. Yesterday we had discussed one of the treasures from the treasures of Jannah, as narrated by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That a person who recites La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then this is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. Now, sometimes when we hear these things, just to strengthen our iman and our yaqeen. Now when a person reads Subhanallah, he reads Alhamdulillah. So we hear in the hadith that the person is being rewarded. But this is what iman is all about, believing in the unseen. Person can't see anything, but he believes it. So in this world we have an example as far as the currencies are concerned. A person has never gone for Umrah. He's never been to another country. He's always been in South Africa. So somebody tells him that, listen, when you go to that country, you need to make sure that you get some riyals. When you arrive there, perhaps you may need to hire a taxi. Perhaps you may need to buy something. So you need to change your currency from rands into riyals. He doesn't know the value of riyals. He hasn't seen it. He cannot understand it in the true sense of the word. Now if he goes ahead and he changes his rands into riyals, and then he goes into one of our local supermarkets to buy something, he presents those riyals. So unfortunately, they are not going to be able to facilitate that particular currency. In the same way, when we go to the year after in the akhirat, the currency of the year after is not our rands. It's not our coins, it's not our gold coins, it's not the beautiful cars that we have, or the homes, or the investments. That is not going to help one bit. What is the currency of the year after is these a'mal and these treasures, as mentioned by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Sulaiman ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, he was traveling. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him great kingdom, such kingdom that no one ever will have a kingdom, the kind of kingdom that Sulaiman alayhi salam had. The wind was subservient to him. He understood the languages of the animals, etc., etc. So on one occasion, Allah Ta'ala had given him some kind of a craft. Allah knows best what kind of a craft this was. All his members of parliament and close advisors were on this particular craft, and they were traveling. The wind was taking them from one place to another place at tremendous speed. So in those days, this was a overwhelming sight to see for an ordinary person, to see this huge craft hovering in the sky at the speed. There was a farmer that was working in his farm. He was plowing the land. And whilst plowing the land, he caught sight of this craft of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And in amazement, he said, Subhanallah. He said, Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that this statement of this particular person reached the ear of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He immediately instructed that this craft go right down to this person. So now this farmer saw this entire craft in front of him. He got very worried. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, "What did you say?" So he said, "I didn't say anything." So no, tell me what was the statement that you said. So he explained to him, "No, I just saw this and I became amazed and perplexed and overwhelmed. And that's the only reason I just said Subhanallah." He said, "No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down wahi that this one Subhanallah that you have recited is more greater and valuable in the eye of Allah than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam." So respected elders and brothers, we do not understand these things. We'll only really understand it when we go into the next life. But we must have yaqeen in what Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said as being the truth and nothing but the truth. So there are many, many riwayats. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi Mirqat Sharif has mentioned with regards to La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that the person who recites this particular wazifa, then there is a cure for 99 sicknesses, the least of which is depression. Depression and anxiety. The person who reads La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, inshallah Allah will give him, with yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala will give him cure from even depression and anxiety. In another riwayat it is mentioned that the person who recites La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Aslama abdi wa staslama. That my servant has become obedient, he has submitted himself, wa staslama. He has completely aslama umur al kainat ila basiriha. He has submitted and resigned the affairs of the world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's completely resigned the affairs of the world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In there also, inshallah, there is a cure for this pride or these onslaughts and these attacks of shaitan. Therefore, we should try and make it part and parcel of our practices. Whenever these evil thoughts cross our mind, shaitan whispers certain things into the mind, immediately la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now as far as this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, as the Shaykh Makhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions, that it is also the tafsir of the ayat, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. This particular verse is found in Surah Yusuf, in the 13 juz of the Quran Sharif, where we know the incident of Yusuf ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, where he had to go through those trials and tribulations. Finally, he was seduced by the wife of the king of the time. He abstained, he remained chaste, and thereafter he was imprisoned. Now when he was imprisoned, thereafter prior to being released from the prison, he first requested that his name be cleared. He first requested that his name be cleared. So finally his name was cleared, and thereafter people began praising him, that you know he is such a great person, such a pious person. This Nabi responded, he said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I do not regard my nafs as free, as safe, as sound. This nafs of ours, now in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we notice, mashallah, fajr, namaz, mashallah, the safs are right till that pillars there, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala make it such that the entire year it can be like this. But what happens in the month of Ramadan, one shaitan is sorted out, and then the nafs gets under control. Because the person is fasting, he's submitting himself, he's restraining himself, his nafs sort of gets under control. So it is like the example of that snake or that python that goes into hibernation. Now the person, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, gives the example of a person. He went into the mountains, the Himalaya mountains, and now he found one python, huge python in hibernation. So now he decided he wants to get some attention. So he took this python, he brought it down to the local village, and he began bragging. And look at this, what a brave, courageous person I am. I got this huge python here. So there was a large crowd of people that began gathering around him in amazement. You see, this person has managed to bring one huge python. But now what happened, because he brought it from the mountains into the village, and now the rays of the sun started to shine on the body of this python, now slowly this python started to move. So Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says, the first person who ran from there was the very person who brought the python. He ran for his life. So he says, in the same way, this nafs of ours, the month of Ramadan comes, the person sits in the company of the Shaykh, the person goes out in Dawat, in Tabligh, the person sits in some programs of deen, he engages in some ibadat. The nafs appears to be gone into hibernation. But the reality is, this nafs is a snake. As soon as the fire of sins begins shining, and the fire of temptation begins shining on that nafs, finish. Then the reality of the nafs and that poison of the nafs then comes to light. Therefore, Khaja Aziz Hasan Majub Rahmatullah, he says that nafs wa shaitan, dono khanjar hai dar baghal. This is it's a dagger that's right underneath the armpit of a person. It's an enemy that's right close to you. If a person knows that there's some enemy that's waiting to ambush him, how alert the person becomes. This person at any time is going to try and ambush me. Now we know we're living in a country where hijackings and these things are so common. Allah protect us. But the thing is that how alert a person becomes, especially when he comes to his driveway. And we should be alert. We shouldn't be completely bhula bala, just drive in and close our eyes. The person should look left, right and center. And this is what people generally do. Late at night when you're traveling, looking this side, looking that side, looking in front, see if a car is following us behind, anybody, any suspicious characters roaming around. We're concerned. Why we worried about our lives, the lives of our children, our property. In the same way, this nafs of ours is just like that. We should be very, very alert that why is my nafs pulling me towards this? Why are these thoughts coming to my mind? And then immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this month of Ramadan, so we were saying Yusuf ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, I do not absolve my nafs. I'm always suspicious of my nafs. Because the tendency of nafs, inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu, the natural instinct of nafs is that it constantly encourages with great intensity, it encourages one towards sins and towards disobedience. It encourages ones towards sin and disobedience. Its inclinations are such. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Except that nafs upon whom Allah's rahmat is focused. This is the same thing. La hawla wa la quwwata. If it is not for Allah's help, and if it is not for Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, nothing can be achieved. Another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ رَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Had it not been for the fadl, for the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the rahmat of Allah ta'ala, not a single one, an individual, could purify his soul. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي. But Allah is the one who purifies souls. So therefore, we know this month of Ramadan, the first 10 days of Ramadan are known as days of rahmah. So we should make dua that, Ya Allah, cause me to be drenched in these rains of rahmat. Focus your rains of rahmat upon my heart, by means of which inshallah I will get this himmat and this courage to stay away from sins, and I will develop an inclination towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to become completely enveloped in his rains of rahmah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.